Now, back to the Eric Stewart Show on WMAL.
Welcome back. Stuart Rosenthal from the Beacon newspaper joins me. As always, a pleasure to have Stuart on the show because he is a special guy.
Thank you, man.
Not just because he's a nice guy, but because he has created the Beacon newspaper with information relevant for you when you are in need of information on money, technology, travel, health, anything having to do with being 50 or over, and I barely qualify.
Good for you.
Okay.
But you're still entitled to read it. I'll let you do that as a special favor.
All right. Well, thanks. What's going on?
In our health section, we have an article that I thought was interesting. It has to do with canned fruits and vegetables. Mm-hmm. I think in this day and age in particular, with the growth of the fresh food markets and the availability of fresh foods and foods all year round from different countries that are always in season, people really look down on canned goods and they look down on canned fruits and vegetables. And I understand that. Sometimes they feel overcooked. They're not crunchy and crispy. They don't have quite the same color.
Mm-hmm.
But nutritionally speaking, everybody ought to know that not only are they probably as good, they are in many cases better than fresh fruits and vegetables.
Oh, come on now.
Yeah.
That's not what we hear.
Well, I'm telling you what this article says, and I'll tell you why.
All right, good.
When vegetables are canned, they are canned within hours of picking.
Mm-hmm.
They are as fresh as it can be.
Okay.
You almost never, unless you go to a farmer's market, you almost never get fruits and vegetables that are literally hours from being picked. They are usually days, sometimes weeks from being picked because they've had to be artificially ripened, they've had to be flown from all over the world, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And some fresh vegetables like spinach and green beans, for example, lose up to 75% of their vitamin C and other nutrients within 7 days. So if you by the time you buy them in the store and how you take them home and you put them in your refrigerator and you get around to preparing them and eating them,
mm-hmm.
so much of that nutritional value has been lost, whereas that will not be the case with canned goods.
Right, right.
So that's something to keep in mind if you're looking for that. Of course, it's also much cheaper generally to buy canned vegetables and fruits than to buy the fresh ones.
Mm-hmm.
And there's less waste
with
that too.
Yeah.
Now, on the downside, let's be – oh, one other good thing I want to point out too. Heat often brings out actually – the nutrients in certain products, like tomatoes,
mm-hmm.
the lycopene, which is a very important antioxidant that you find in tomatoes, its bioavailability is increased when it's heated up.
Right.
So it's actually more potent in canned tomatoes than in fresh tomatoes. And canned pumpkin, since it has a lot less water in it than fresh pumpkin, it has a higher concentration of vitamin A. So there are also some ways of seeing the higher nutritional benefits in these things. On the other hand, and everybody's going to point this one out, salt and sugar.
Yeah.
Right? They can be problems, and a lot of canned goods have a lot of this added to it. That is an issue. You can buy no salt or no sugar added products. You can rinse them to reduce some of the salt and the sugar on them, or drain them, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So there are those things to keep in mind as well.
And then some of the cans you have to be careful of because they might contain some plastics in the can as a means of sealing the can.
That's right. My understanding is that this BPA, which has been removed from a lot of plastic goods because mm-hmm. it was leaching into water bottles and drinks that people were drinking, it is used as a component in the interior of food cans. So if you are concerned about that, then you might want to try to find those vegetables and fruits that are quote-unquote canned in jars or bags, aseptic pouches, things of that sort. So, yes, it is a mixed bag, not to put a pun to it. But there's certain kinds of vegetables in particular, like artichokes, where, honestly, would you ever eat one if you couldn't just buy a can of, artichoke hearts or something? It's a lot of work and a lot of expense to produce a significant number of artichoke hearts for a group or for a recipe. So that's another thing to keep in mind.
Fascinating. Read your free copy of the Beacon newspaper, always found at over 1,500 locations here in the Metroplex. And you can go online to thebeaconnewspapers.com to read your copy, or you can give them a call if you don't know where to go at 301-949-9766. Stuart Rosenthal, the maestro of the Beacon. Beak, beak, beak.
That's right. New song, theme song. Thanks, Eric.
All right, you too. I'm thrilled to have Wills Osborne. Wills is the extraordinary photographer for the Eric Stewart Group. He's also a great stager, a good friend, and a very fine realtor in his own regard. Wills, good morning.
Good morning, Eric. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. I wanted you to share with our audience how to prepare a house for photos and how to take the best photos of their home if they're thinking about getting their house ready. Maybe this is a good time for them to be thinking about those things, maybe even take some pictures themselves.
Absolutely. I'd love to do that. What I'd like to start off with is there are a few things that you should be thinking about if you're preparing your house for the market and ultimately for getting photos done. Let me just start out here by saying that if you are thinking about having your house photographed or being put up for sale, then you kind of want to take it in stages. And so you're going to go through the inside of your house and the outside of your house to prepare everything. And so this can kind of be stretched out over a length of time. But if, for example, you're a week out from your photo shoot, things you want to consider are touching up the paint around the house, having the carpets cleaned and the wood floors polished, clearing the bulk away from the different areas of your house, and just getting rid of unnecessary items that you don't really need in the house any longer. On the day before you get your photos done, you want to make sure that all of the light bulbs are in working condition throughout your property. You want to organize the offices and workspaces throughout your house, and you might even consider planting new flowers on the outside to get a bright pop of color. In addition to that, you want to sweep the patios and the walkways, and you want to store trash cans and different things out of sight. And then finally, on the day of the photo shoot, when myself or another photographer will show up, you're going to turn on all the lights in the house. Walk around the house and make sure the beds are made and the pillows are arranged on top of them. Clean and organize the countertops, like in your kitchen and in your bathrooms. Hang the window shades at the same level. It doesn't matter if they're all the way up or all the way down or in the middle, just so long as there's some consistency to it. You're going to turn off the ceiling fans and your television. Make sure your bathrooms look good. You can use some bold colors of towels in there. And then make sure your cars are out of sight, because we don't want to be selling the car with the house, just the house.
Many a fine photo has been ruined by a car in front of the house, hasn't it?
That's right, it has. And because I'm a photographer, I can't break into your car and move it for you, so we need you to help out with that, too.
So you've put together a short guide for our group on getting your house ready for photos?
That's true, absolutely, and you can download it on the website.
Right, so you can go right to ericstewartgroup.com if you want to download what we're discussing today on how to get your home ready for photos. So anything else on that, Wills?
Absolutely. One thing I'd like to just explain to the folks out there is when you're scheduling for a photo shoot, the thing that's going through my mind as a photographer is getting the very best shot of the front of your home. And so the way that the sun rotates around the earth, as we know it, it rises in the east and sets over in the west. And so what I'm thinking about as a photographer is how to capture your home in the best possible light. And so if your house is facing towards the east, then the sunlight is going to be best and most direct on the front of your house in the morning time. And then in the afternoon, if your house faces towards the west, the sunlight will be shining back on your house in the afternoon. And so as you're thinking about scheduling for these photos, it will help us in scheduling those to figure out which way your home faces and when the best time is to have the light shining on the front of the home.
Excellent. So you want to think about those things and think about the time of year. It's now June. It's a good time to be taking a picture before the grass goes brown. Good time to take a picture. Everything's flush, green, lovely, and take it at the right time of day. Keep those pictures. Even if you take it with your iPhone or your Droid, take it with the highest resolution possible. Save that photo. It's something you can pass on to your realtor when the time comes. Again, download a free copy of the How to Get Your House Ready for Photos brochure at ericstewartgroup.com. Wills Osborne, our photographer extraordinaire from the Eric Stewart Group, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, Eric. It's been my pleasure.
Mine too. All right, again, download any of our free guides at ericstewartgroup.com. And when I get back in just a couple of minutes, I have something important to share with you. So please don't go away.